And yesterday we talked about the first part of the first ayah, which was just Bism. We went to Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and we looked at in the name of. Now the next part is Allah. Allah is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And first of all, when we look at why things are named, persons or things are named in order to serve as a sign of that person, while at other times the purpose is descriptive. For example, the name itself may have some meaning, and it's not that meaning which is indicated by the name, rather the name serving as a sign of or identification of what is named. So the name is therefore in that category no more than a badge or a sign. In the second category, for example, when I said it was descriptive, the name conveys something of the characteristics or qualities of the name. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have a name that simply serves as a badge or a sign, because all His names convey some reality from the realities of His sacred essence. And if we look at the Quran, it contains around 100 names of Allah, which in reality are 100 adjectives, some of which are to be found in the surah we're talking about. For example, in besides Allah, we find Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, we find Maliki Yawmiddin. Yet none of them are as comprehensive as the name Allah, because each of them conveys one of His perfections, whereas Allah refers to the essence that compromises or comprises all the perfections together. Now the word Allah was originally Al-Ilah, which means the one God. And the letter Hamza, represented as, when we say Al-Ilah, represented by E, was dropped due to abundant usage. Now, Shaheed Mutahhari writes that if you regard the root of the word Allah and look at it, there is disagreement amongst the Mufassireen. Some say that it's derived from Alaha, others say it's from Walaha. In either case, he says that we will look at it through the word Ilah. If it is derived from Alaha, which means Abada, it gives the sense of worshipping. Then Allah means the essence worthy of worship as being perfect in every respect. This is because a being created by another being of which his deficiencies is not worthy of being worshipped. Therefore, the statement that Al-Ilah means the essence which is such as to be deserving of being worshipped implies that within the word is the meaning, the essence which comprises all the attributes of perfection and which is above every kind of imperfection and deficiency. He says, if it is derived from Walaha, which gives the meaning of sort of wandering or of loving to distraction and being in a frenzy of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah has the name Allah because the human mind before His essence enters into this condition of awe, this absolute awesomeness of wonder, of being enraptured and maddened and completely taken over by the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's one of the greatest scholars of Arabic grammar called Sibawi, who wrote on this, and he supported the view that the origin of the word Allah is Walaha, which gives the meaning of one who is completely awestruck before the divine magnificence and absolutely taken over. You know, in his Mathnawi, Rumi transmits this message. He says, the meaning of Allah, so said that Sibawi, is that they are frenzied by love in their needs unto Him. He said, we are maddened by love in our needs unto You. We begged for them, and in You we found them. Look at what Mawlavi says. He says, hundreds of thousands in their times of need present all their troubles as groans to that one. And more, all the fish amongst the waves and all birds upon their summits, nay, all the waves as they play, the attraction of all is to the light within the light. So if we are going to now look at these aspects, there's a strong probability that Alaha and Walaha are two aspects of a single word. So if we were to paraphrase the whole thing in the name of Allah, and we look at Allah first, then Allah is that essence with whom all creatures are unconsciously enamored and who is the sole reality deserving to be worshipped. So can you imagine when you say Bismillah, you're saying, I begin in the name of He with whom all creatures are awestruck, and who is the sole reality deserving to be worshipped. And I do that so that the act I am about to perform is sanctified. How much more beautiful can this I am mean? And it ends with Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And the two names of Rahman and Rahim bring to mind two concepts. The first is the boundless need of the created, such that as if every particle of creation in its own way and with its own particular tongue is calling out for its needs to be met by the one who is without need. And the second is that He sends His unfathomable mercy upon them all and secures their needs. I love these names. They're just out of this world. So beautiful. Now, what's the difference between these two names? Shahid Mutahhari writes that we must understand that in Arabic, a noun constructed on the model of fa'ala, like Rahman, indicates an abundance of the denoted quality. So that, for example, atshan, which means extremely thirsty, and a noun constructed on the model of fa'il, like Rahim, indicates that the denoted quality is firm and constant. So, Rahman indicates an abundant, extensive mercy, so that we understand that His mercy extends to all places and embraces all things. If we look fundamentally, each thing's very existence is an instance of the divine mercy. Being and existence is a mercy in itself. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf, in Ayah 57, He says that His mercy encompasses everything. And this type of divine mercy has no exceptions. It's not that it's only for human beings, nor amongst the human beings. It doesn't only embrace those who are believers. It is divine mercy. Whatever exists is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we look at Ar-Rahim on the model of Fa'il, that indicates a mercy that is fixed and constant. Rahim denotes a type of mercy that does not come to an end. It embraces those who through their belief, through Iman and Amilus Salihat, through virtuous deeds, have placed themselves in the path of receiving that particular mercy of the Divine. See, Ar-Rahman indicated the all-embracing nature of mercy that embraces the whole of existence, but eventually a set of beings will become non-existent after having existed. There will be annihilation, while Rahim allows them an immortality. It's absolutely beautiful. And immortality comes with the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why He says, Abdi ati'ani, O my abd, obey me, follow me. فَجَعَلَكَ مَثَلِي, I will make you like me. أَنَا حَيٌّ لَا أَمُوت فَجَعَلَكَ حَيٌّ لَا تَمُوت. I am alive, I do not die. I am ever living. I shall make you to live, never to die. There is the world in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Recite it 786 times and see the difference it makes in your lives. It's so beautiful. Inshallah, we shall continue with the tadabbur of Surah Al-Fatiha tomorrow.